Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
We're going to have a fun upcoming election season with everything going on. It's going to be a lot of fun. But back in the day, Alexander Hamilton was shot to death by Aaron Burr in a duel. Aaron Burr was the vice president. And they were longtime political adversaries. And so back in those days, now it wasn't quite legal, they kind of did it under the table, but back in the 18th, 19th, 17th centuries, a lot of times when people had disputes, they would challenge each other to a duel. And so they challenged each other to a duel, and Alexander Hamilton was shot. The next day, he lost his life. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine that you're going to have a duel the next day to the death? You know, you have those movie scenes, fight to the death. And can you imagine being in that fight to the death where you're like, if I don't win, I'm going to die. Pretty serious. That's like pretty serious. And so it's a very sobering thought that people are that bold. Now, if we resolve problems today, we wouldn't have any Congress or senators left. That might be a good thing. Amen. But so this fight to the death we're talking about. Someone said this: kill your sin or it will kill you. Kill your sin or it will kill you. And that's what this passage is talking about. This passage is talking about, through the Spirit, kill the deeds of your old nature. Mortify. That's the word that many of us are used to mortify, to kill, to destroy the works of the Spirit. And it sets a mindset for us this morning, and it kind of fits with Memorial Day without even trying, because Memorial Day is about we're memorializing those who fought to the death. If you ever saw Saving Private Ryan, and when they got off those boats and the bullets they faced, and how many thousands of people lost their lives like that. Cold Harbor, the Civil War, 6,000 people died in an hour. So you think about going out and fighting to the death. That's a scary thing. But I want us to get this mindset, this picture this morning, that when we talk about walking in the Spirit, when we talk about this spiritual life, it's not a joke. It's very serious. It's very serious. It's very serious because six times in these 13 verses, Paul mentions the word life. Life. You want to have life? Walk in the Spirit. You want to avoid death? Walk in the Spirit. If you give yourself over to the works of your natural man, you'll die. Notice verse 7. For the sinful man is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. What's he talking about? He's talking about one of the most basic, fundamental, core values, beliefs, doctrines of the Bible. And that is, we are born with a tendency to do wrong. We are born with a sinful nature from the fall. It goes back to Genesis 3. Once the fall, we inherited this nature, and we are born in our natural state hostile to God. And religion can't fix it. Keeping the laws, keeping the rituals, doing whatever religious motions or traditions cannot change that nature. That's what he's saying. You cannot. It's hostile. It's an enemy. It's in opposition. It's opposed to. That's why you can't give in. When you give in to an enemy, when you compromise to an enemy, World War II. All right, we'll give Hitler Poland. He's going to stop there. Yeah, he signs. I'm going to stop. Before you know it, he's taking over France, Belgium, and bombing England and going into Russia. Enemy never gives in. Once you give yourself to the old man and listen to the old man, you're going down it's like starting at the top of a hill. You go down the top of a hill. If you ever go skiing, you start skiing, man, you're going slow. But, man, when you start going, only way to stop is to break your leg. Unless you know how to ski. So compromise, that's why it's so important to understand this principle of the great duel. This principle of what it means to live in the Spirit. Because it is a fight to the death. It is a fight. Now, notice verse 8. That's why those who are still under the control of the sinful nature can never please God. Notice this word control. What controls you? What pushes your button? What makes you do what you do? So we're coming down to the core of who we are. And we have this nature, this way of responding, this way of living. We have that. Well, that's just how I am. That's true. But we have the hope in Jesus that we can change who we are. That's what the gospel is about. The gospel is giving you the tools, the nature, the spirit to change who you are. Not to be controlled by your natural man. And in some ways, that's how we've arrived at where we are today. Because once you give yourself over to your desires, it never stops. And it goes downhill. And there was a time in our society where we said, no, this is wrong. You should listen to yourself. You should do what's right. Oftentimes, what is right is harder to do. So as we've been talking about this walking in the Spirit, Romans 8:5 again, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about the sinful things, but those who are controlled, again, that word, controlled by the Holy Spirit, think about those things that what? Please, the Spirit. They think about those things. And so we started off talking about there's no condemnation, that we're free. Jesus Christ died to break the bondage that we were in. And then we talk about when we come to Christ, it changes our desires and our thinking. The Spirit changes us. It's not about trying harder. It's not about 10 ways to do this. It's not about being religious. It's about becoming different. Being changed. And then a couple weeks ago, we talked about the pitfalls of not walking in the Spirit, what that means. How David kind of he started following his own natural state. Now look at Galatians chapter 6, 7, and 8. Notice what he says. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows in the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. And he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, how many of you have a garden? Okay. How many of you have planted a garden yet? How many of you had some of your plants die from the frost we had a few weeks ago? Okay. Now, when you plant peas, what comes up out of the ground? Thank you. It's pretty easy, right? What you sow, what you plant, what you do, what you meditate, what you think about, that's what you'll be. And Paul says this in Galatians, very easy. Don't be deceived. What you sow, you're going to reap. And again, here we're talking about walking in the flesh. When he talks about walking in the flesh, he's talking about walking in your natural state, who you are. Then he says, when you walk in the Spirit, he's talking about walking in the Spirit of God, which is in you, which you receive when you come to Jesus, walking in the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, obeying the Spirit, okay? And notice again, the gravity of it. You live or you die. And this is important. This is serious. This is life-changing. This is a duel you're going through. You're facing this enemy. And if you don't defeat this enemy, he's going to kill you. He doesn't care. This is a fight to the death. The fight that you have to win. There's no next season. It's just this one season, this one life. And so this passage here, Romans, this putting to death the old man, this walking in the Spirit, I believe is, you know, we're going to be talking a couple weeks about mental health, but I believe these teachings are just as important. I believe these are the foundations of it. Because I believe through the Spirit of God, through following God, he will give us the mental health. Paul said to Timothy, I've given you, it says, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And this comes through understanding God's word, but not just understanding, but by walking in the Spirit, by being changed. Not under the weight of obligations to keep the law. And at the end, I have an illustration that might help you understand this a little better. But the answer for our lives, if we want to live, life comes from God. He that has a son has life. We want to live, it comes from submitting to God. So three words this morning to describe this. Here in Romans chapter 8. Number one is receive. Receive. Walking in the Spirit is not something you do. It's not something you buy. It's not something that you earn. It's something you receive by faith. Notice verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Now, if you remember the first message on walking in the Spirit, I said the goal of walking in the Spirit is to walk in oneness with God. We talked about John chapter 17. How that Jesus prayed to the Father that we may be one as the Father and Son are one. And the oneness of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is so miraculous that we can't understand it. A lot of people say, how can it be the Trinity? Because we don't understand perfect unity. Perfect unity comes from God. And the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. And God has given us the Spirit so we can walk in oneness with God. We can be with God. Notice he says, if he does not have the Spirit, he is not his. He's not Christ. That's the divide between the saved and the lost. Not what church you go to, not what religion you are, not how much money you give, not how many good works. Have you received the Spirit of God? Have you been born from above, born again? You've heard that phrase. Born again has been co-opted today. It doesn't mean start over. It doesn't mean reformation. It doesn't mean, all right, I got a new attitude. Being born again means that you've put your faith in Jesus. You realize you're a sinner. You believe that he died on the cross, that he rose again, and you say, God, I believe. Come into my life and save me. You've heard the sinner's prayer. And instantaneously, you receive the Holy Spirit, and you're born of God. That's what it means to receive the Holy Spirit. So that's the goal. The goal is to have the Holy Spirit. So the goal is to receive the Spirit. So here again, victory comes from God. God gives you the victory as you walk in Him. There's just something about when you're His and you walk in Him. And you're with him. So receive. Then the second word is believe. Believe. Now, how'd you feel if you had that duel tomorrow? And you're ready to go in that duel, but you knew that your enemy did not have any bullets in the gun. Would you have more confidence? Yes or no? Yeah. Some of you are saying, I wouldn't be in a duel. Just if, circumstantially. The truth is, we are in a duel between the flesh and the spirit. It is a duel. But the enemy doesn't have any bullets. He can't harm us. Notice what it says here in verse 10. If Christ in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Again, life. The spirit is life. The spirit gives us life. And when we receive Christ, you know what we cancel the old man. We like that word today. We want to cancel everybody. Well, cancel the old man. Just cancel him. That's it. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm canceling the old man. Not listening to him anymore. I'm not being subject to him anymore. I've been free from Jesus. That's believed. Notice verse 11. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you. You. What kind of power do we need to raise the dead? What kind of power was available to raise Jesus from the dead? Paul says it again in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19-20. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. What does God want you to understand? He wants you to understand the power he has for you. He wants you to understand this power. He wants you to believe. Believe that God. Listen. Sometimes. I think. We're guilty. Of glorifying the struggle more than glorifying the power of God. Now, I understand we all struggle, and you know how I am. We're transparent. Nobody's perfect. We don't arrive sinless perfection. We all go through times of struggle. But I think sometimes we put so much emphasis on the struggle, we downplay the power of God. Did Jesus rise from the dead? He says that this is the same mighty power that he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the places of honor in God's right hand in heavenly places. So Paul's praying. I'm praying for us to understand. Listen, I know you struggle. I know you live in the old man. I know the flesh is weak. But God is stronger. That power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you to live the Christian life. We can have victory. We can have victory through Jesus. We can win this duel. It's not impossible. Believe. And then we receive, we believe, and then embrace. Embrace. Notice what he says. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. When you're a debtor, when you owe something, you have to pay it. But it's more than that. The NLT says this. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Not obligated. You don't have to listen. Cancel the old man. Cancel the old nature. We're not obligated. You need to embrace the new man. You need to embrace this new life. You need to embrace life in the Spirit. Notice verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by what? The Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So you could say this is the sum of Christian life. Putting to death the deeds of the body. Putting to death, mortifying the flesh that you live through the Spirit. That you're going to walk in the Spirit and it's going to change you, that you walk a different life. Now, let me illustrate this to you. How did I learn the Romanian language? I went to Romania. I was 26, 27. I did so bad in my freshman year of Spanish class that I didn't even show up to the final exam. And somebody told me through the grapevine, the teacher was upset you didn't show up. Why didn't you show up? And I said, 0, 30, what's the difference? When I took the aptitude test for learning languages, I had you might learn it, you might not learn it. I wasn't one of these guys, you know, I had a friend that worked, you know, friend missionary for me. He was musical and mean. He could just learn it without even trying. But when I went to Romania, my goal was to learn the language. But after having a translator say about 35, 40 words and then translate me 3 words, I said, I'm learning this language. But you know what I had to do? I had to embrace it. I had to embrace it. Like, embrace it with all my being. And so I started the advice of another missionary. When we first went over there, there weren't any language schools in Constanza. There weren't any language schools. And a lot of the missionaries would find somebody who knows English, but they were academic. Right? They were very academic. They would come out and they'd have all these charts of how the verbs are conjugated. And a lot of the missionaries, especially the older ones, get discouraged learning the language because it seems so complicated. It was all like, you know, memorize all these conjunctions and all the verb tenses and all this. And then, you know, we started with a language teacher. And I can remember I offended her because I said, so you know how in English we say, yeah, I don't care. Not a big deal. But I found out when I say, no pasa, I don't care. My older language teacher was very offended. Like I didn't care about her. And I was talking to another missionary, and he said, you know, the best way to learn language is just to write out sentences and learn what you want to know. So I started getting notebooks out, found another teacher that knew a little English, and just started writing sentences, started writing out my sermons, started reading the Bible in Romanian. And I immersed myself in the language and embraced it. Because one of the things you can't ask when you learn a language is why. Because, like I'd ask the language, well, why is it feminine? Is that a table feminine? I don't get it. But as I began to embrace it, right? Embrace it. Immerse myself in it. I began to learn it. I began to speak it. I began to preach in it. I began to write in it. I began to talk in it. And I embraced it so much that when I would come back to America and preach in a church in English, I was thinking in Romanian. Why? Because it changed me. I embraced it. When I go back to Romania after 2 or 3 days in Newcastle, I'm talking only in Romanian. 2 or 3 days, my mind switches back and I'm thinking in Romanian. Why? Because it was totally embraced, okay? And that to me is an illustration of work walking in the Spirit. Because it's not something like you can do as you read your Bible, as you pray, as you believe, as you walk in the Spirit. God changes you and become different. You begin to think like He thinks. Now, because my daughter speaks Spanish, I've been playing around with Spanish. Duolingo. Right now, I'm kind of in a quandary because I'm trying to keep my 130-day streak going, but it's usually 11 o'clock at night, and I'll go to like the easiest lesson and repeat it. Just to say, just to keep my streak, right? I can say, buenos dias, como estas? And I know what novio is, because I heard Julia talking one time. And I'm kind of like, yeah, un poco with Spanish. But I haven't embraced it. I haven't learned it. Because I'm just playing with it. I'm just like, yeah, a little Spanish. Like some of you that come that know Spanish, you're probably sick. Oh, yeah, pastor here, ¿cómo estás? Again. You're going to learn another word. Oh, no, I can say cansado. Soy cansado. I'm learning a few things here and there, okay? But not like Romanian. I can get up, take my Romanian Bible, and preach a message. Why? Because it's part of me. I embraced it. And so it's the same thing in the Christian life. You either play around with it or you embrace it. You either say a little bit here, I go to church, but it doesn't like make any change because you haven't embraced it. When you embrace it, that's what Paul's talking about here, walking in the Spirit. You receive the Spirit, you believe it will work, and then you embrace it to put to death the old man. And before you know it, instead of yelling and screaming when you get mad, you're a little calmer. Instead of being filled with bitterness, you've left it at the cross. Instead of being controlled by your emotions, you're trusting God. to work. Why? Because you've embraced the life of walking in the Spirit. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight. This morning, help us, Lord, to walk in your Spirit. Help us to embrace the Christian life with all our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength.